Thanks for checking out the Fabric Podcast. We've been talking about stirrings lately. You know, those rumblings, instincts, or maybe connections into the divine or unitive consciousness. It can feel hard to articulate it, but we've started gathering once again at Field Community School in Minneapolis, where it's a little easier to wonder together at what it is we're experiencing. And in this part of our conversation, Greg Meyer puts the focus on how stirrings connect to our relationships.
Yeah, good to see you, and those who are on live stream, those listening on the podcast, we're glad to have you with us today. And I'm Greg Meyer. This is our second week of being in person at Field, as you've kind of heard people saying, and we're still getting used to it. Yeah, what can I say? Also, welcome. We got some youth here from Peace in Bloomington. Good to see you guys. Excitement. Let's try that one more time. And we got some youth here from Peace in Bloomington. Woo! Yes. No, we're glad to have you. This is the kind of place you can make noise here. This is good. Lets me know that you guys are still alive. Just speaking to all these masks is just like only 2 degrees better than Zoom. But we'll get there. We'll get there. But it's better to be safe, right? This is also our second week of talking about stirrings. And stirrings, you know, those feelings, those notions, those premonitions that kind of echo around inside your head, maybe behind your heart, and you kind of know they're important some way, but you can barely hear them. In fact, you often don't even know what's going on until there's sort of a still, quiet moment, and you certainly really don't know what to do with them. Yeah, I mean, those stirrings, that's what we're talking about these weeks, and those stirrings are really important. They're really important. They rise up from deep down inside you, from your connections to the rest of the world. All right, they're trying to clue you into something maybe you're not quite aware of, you don't know about yet. It's something you can barely hear or see. And we don't often know what to do with those. They're kind of like, we're working on it. So they're kind of like, stirrings are kind of like there's a train coming, right? They're talking about the new, and the new is this train that's still far, far away, but even though it's not there yet, you can't really see it, and you can't really hear it yet, you sense that it's coming. You can kind of feel it. You can kind of hear it, right? And so that's sort of a big piece of this. So I think we just need to recognize that these stirrings are where change begins. Stirrings are what change begins with, right? Stirrings are also how you start being a part of what will be rather than staying part of what was. The whole process of it begins with some stirrings are inside you, whether you happen to notice them or not. Now, if you want to know more about like these stirrings and kind of how that works in general, you go back to last week's podcast. We spent a lot of time talking about that. But today I want to consider more specifically how these stirrings impact our relationships, what they have to do with our relationships. And I want to start that with a story about someone who was very successful, very important, and lived about 2,000 years ago, so yeah, Bible stuff, okay, all right? And this guy's name was Nicodemus, right? So Nicodemus was one of the ruling elite of his day, a religious authority, which is sort of what was all about at those times. And he was respectable, he was well-to-do, he had all the right stuff going for himself, and then Jesus happened, okay? And he just really didn't quite know what to do with it, because unlike all of his other Pharisees, he listened to this guy, he saw the impact that he was having on other people, and he was a couple of encounters where he watched them, and he like felt like something is going on here. In fact, it was probably reminding him of some thoughts and ideas he had, and he tried to sneak into his teachings, but he knew that this wasn't going to be accepted by his, you know, fellow ruling elite, which were the Pharisees. That was his brand of ruling elite, right? And so he knew he'd better keep those things to himself and not challenge the traditions of his peers. So now, last week we talked about this idea that the conventional thought, the status quo, you know, the way things are, is the enemy of your stirrings. It's trying to keep them quiet, right? Trying to keep them from rising up because it'll threaten those things, right? It was the same in Nicodemus's day. He sensed these stirrings within himself, and he knew not only that conventional thought, the establishment, was going to try to crush it all, but he knew that it was his job to represent status quo. It was his job to represent the establishment and to be part of that hushing it. But he couldn't ignore the fact that these stirrings were going on inside of him, right? So he was caught. He was caught between his security with what was And this attraction, the strange feelings that were going on inside him of what was coming. Now, Nicodemus then did what any self-respecting, conflicted person would do. He hides his stirrings from his peers, and he goes to Jesus to talk to him because he's got to do this, but he does it at night. Now, this is John, right? Book of the Bible, one of the four Gospels, Gospels being the stories about the life of Jesus, right? And all of the Gospels use symbolism a lot of Jewish symbolism that maybe we don't always catch on to. But John was like, this is, that he was the chief of all this sort of stuff. So for him, Nicodemus going to Jesus in darkness not only reflects Nicodemus's wish to not be seen, but his wish to not see. Okay? He's in the dark himself. And he has this amazing conversation with Jesus, a conversation that 2,000 years of Christianity has kind of destroyed, kind of turned it into a bunch of doctrinal stuff of what we're supposed to do. Like, you know, Jesus was Karl Barth writing a Theologica Summa, Summa Theologica. You all know what that is, right? Okay, never mind. We'll keep going. And but if you listen to it carefully, you can hear a real heartfelt, stirred up conversation happening between these two people trying to figure out something really, really important about themselves. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, how can this be? All this stuff you're telling everybody, all these words we want to hear, they're so different from what we believe and practice, but we want to believe them. How is that possible? And if I'm hearing correctly, I also hear Nicodemus saying this. I hear him saying, how come I know that what you're teaching is true? How come everybody else knows it's true, even though it contradicts everything we have been trying to teach and we've been trying to practice for so long? And this is when Jesus gives Nicodemus a lesson in stirrings. This is when he gives you and me a lesson in stirrings. He tells him, and you may recognize this, he tells him this: the wind blows where it will. You hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Pretty strange answer, actually. I mean, Nicodemus is asking, like, how can this all stuff be true? And he talks about wind and blowing and what's the reason is he's not actually trying to answer Nicodemus's question, because the answer to that is in his stirrings. What he's trying to teach him about is the stirrings that he knows he's supposed to be listening to, right? And there's a couple of things to know about this, all right, to understand this passage. First of all, that word wind, in Greek it's pneuma, which is also the word for spirit. Same word. And then, so is it the wind blows or the spirit blows? The same thing with the word for the sound of it. You hear the sound of it. The word there is phoné. You know, you probably recognize phoné, right? Which is also the word for voice, the exact same word. So is Jesus talking about the wind and the sound of it, or is he talking about the Spirit and its voice? Well, I mean, which one is it? Actually, it isn't an either-or question. Jesus was talking about them both at the same time. Was Jesus talking about something completely natural, or is he talking about something spiritual? There's not a difference. He's saying this is all part of the one and the same order. God is not like out there someplace separate from the world that we live in and that we take part in and only interacts with it, you know, in ways of like breaking the laws of physics. But no, he says it is all one and the same. I mean, the wind blowing within you is the Spirit speaking within you. So if you think about it, oh, and by the way, if some of you are language or you know, kind of word geeks, you say, well, that's Greek, Greg, and I know Jesus wasn't speaking Greek, he was speaking Aramaic, right? You'll know that. So those words being the same don't really apply. Actually, they do, because in Aramaic and Hebrew, those are also the same exact matched words. All right, I know, just solve some problems before you start sending me emails. So what was he saying? The Spirit, the wind blows where it will. You hear its voice, you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit, for everyone who is blown by the wind. Or maybe what Jesus was trying to help us see is that these things that come from the Father, I mean, that's kind of what Nicodemus was trying to ask him, this stuff comes from the Father. When I say the Father, I mean, we're not talking about some male deity sitting up on a cloud someplace. This is their language to talk about that which is bigger, beyond, between, among, below everything that holds us all together. What he's saying is these things that come from the fabric, right? Where everything we're woven into, from that deep down place where we're all woven and part of everything, they are stirrings blowing within us. We hear the voice, the sound of what really is, what really matters. It's deep within. We don't quite know where it's coming from or where it's trying to take us. That's how it works with these stirrings, whom we are to trust, and especially when we trust them and we become part of them. Well, anyway, Nicodemus's story goes on throughout John's book. In fact, he pops up 3 times. And remember, John and symbolism, right? So there's no coincidence that there's 3 times here. 3 is, in Jewish numerology, the number of God. So this is like John, by having Nicodemus pop up 3 times, who knows how many times they actually maybe interacted or didn't, but by for John, having Nicodemus pop up in Jesus' story 3 times means is code for God is at work in Nicodemus. And what God wants to do is going to happen. So the second time comes around, and Nicodemus shows up, and at this time there's enormous tension between the rulers and Jesus. They have decided that they want to kill him, right? They want to get rid of him. And so Nicodemus is getting all worried about this, and so, but he's not out of the darkness yet, right? He hasn't come out of the shadows. So he comes up to Jesus, he hears this conversation going on about wanting to kill him, and he just kind of says, he doesn't defend Jesus, he doesn't even name Jesus. He says, is it really our law? You know, our law doesn't judge someone without first giving them a hearing, does it? He gets that one sentence out, and they all start mocking him and say, you must be one of Jesus' followers, and no, that's too much trouble for me. He backs off back into the shadows again. And then one more time, number 3. Remember, hang on to this for the message, not the facts. Nicodemus shows up again after Jesus has been killed, this time in the light of day. In fact, just before the sun sets and darkness will fall again. He joins a man who has gotten permission to take Jesus' body off the cross and to put it into a tomb. Evidently, the wind, the stirrings had grown too strong, and he started being blown by them as well. Conventional thought from the powers that be are going to have their wrath upon him, but he could no longer deny what he was starting to feel within him. Stirrings. Story after story in the Bible shows stirrings at work, bringing the new. And Jesus points at them. So you've got stirrings too. How do you experience them in your life? You may have noticed that I've used a couple of different words to refer to them. And I think it's really important for us to both identify and to name the way that we experience stirring so that we can be able to be attentive to them rather than dismissive to them. So what I'd like you to do, actually, I don't think I even mentioned it, but there's an outline on the back of your Sunday paper. And if you pull that out, there's a QR code. Thank you, Lorraine. It's actually kind of old tech, but it works. But anyway, so we're going to use Menti here. Oh, bingo. Good job. So Menti is, it's not an app. You're not going to get your email address or anything. But if you've got your cell phone, you can go to menti.com, and you can put in, it'll ask you for a code, and you can do that. Or you can just scan the QR code. You can scan it right on your Sunday paper on the outline. It's the one on the top right along the outline. If you're listening on the live stream, you can participate with this too, all right? So you can put in those numbers, 9454-6876. I think it's probably in the comments on the stream as well, so you can just cut and paste it there as well. What I'd like you to do is, people got that? 9454-6876. And if you don't have a phone and someone does next to you, like it's private or thing. I mean, you can give your phone and people can put in their words too. So put in words that you hear as stirring. So why don't you go ahead to the next slide? Boom. I popped a couple in there already just to kind of prime the pump for you. So go ahead and do it. And if you see one pop up there that is like, oh yeah, that's a good one for me, put it in again, because as the same word comes up more times, it will, It gets bigger. So it lets you know it's more prevalent. So if you're listening on the live stream, well, if you're on your phone doing it, you can see this as you do it. But gut feelings, rumblings, intuition, inklings, premonitions, nudges, convictions. They're moving too fast here. Can't keep up. Calling, bubbling up, whisper, nudge. Thoughts in the shower. Why not? So a lot of us do our best thinking, right? Anything to get you to take a shower. Convictions, thoughts, musings. So I'm going to let that just keep going there for a while, and you can keep adding to it and see what these are look like for you. So the question then would be, what do these nudges, these instincts, these gut feelings, these intuitions and thoughts, what do they have to do with your relationships? You know, all those places where your life intersects with the lives of other people. Well, I'm glad you asked. You didn't actually, but I'll tell you anyway. So first of all, you all have relationships. I know that, all right? I also happen to know, even though I don't know all of you personally, that all of your relationships have, let's say, complications. Okay, we'll be polite about that, discreet about that. They have complications, and you know it. You're perfectly aware that there's no relationship that you've had for more than about 5 minutes where you start realizing that, yeah, you know, there's something here that maybe isn't quite right. And now it may all be the other person's fault. I doubt it, but it could be, all right? But that's beside the point. There's some kind of fly in the ointment. There's something that, isn't quite perfect about it all. And here's where this all ties into stirrings. And this is important thing to know. This is also on your outline, okay? Most of what you need to know for a healthy relationship is already stirring inside of you. Most of what you need to know to have a healthy relationship is already stirring inside of you. You are hardwired for connection. You were, as I often like to say, you are created for community. You are not created to be a solo individual out in the world. We are not made for isolation. We don't function that well, not from a biological, sociological, psychological, emotional perspective. We are not. We're created for community, to be in community. So, you know that inside you, I can get this sentence out. You know that from inside yourself, what makes people want to share, care, trust, and grow. Now, we talk about that with groups a lot here. Share, care, trust, and grow. You know what makes us want to do that and how we look for that rather than, you know, maybe the alternative of hide, resent, second guess, and worry. I mean, we're attracted to one. We know that the other one is a problem. And groups, by the way, are something to try out if you haven't been a part of it. These kinds of things that we're talking about, yeah, they're not for us to figure out all by ourselves, but to kind of work through and practice with each other. But so all this stuff that you already know about your healthy relationship, you may not be paying attention to it. In fact, you probably aren't paying attention to all the signals, those murmurs, the undercurrents, all those kinds of words that might be there. But somewhere deep inside, you know that there's something going right or not going so right in your relationship. Like I said, you may not know what to do about those stirrings as they're showing up in you, but you know when something is right or wrong. And so why is that? Why do I believe that you are capable of knowing all that stuff? And it's pretty simple. It's because of that truth that I spent a lot of time talking about last week. It's that deep inside you, if you dare to look, you'll discover something that is lovely and precious. That's what, deep down inside yourself, that is what is there. A lot of ways of talking about it. You hear language like the image of God, that's what is down inside you. Or it's the connection to the fabric of existence that is the deepest down inside you. Or the wonder of millions of years of evolution that did not create you to live in isolation, but to thrive and to help other people thrive by living together with other people. It's the hopes and dreams of countless generations of ancestors who have loved you, whether they knew you or not, and all that being woven into your being. That is what is inside of you. Not a monster. Not something defective. Not unworthy. Not a person who is lucky to love and lucky to be loved. but a person who was born and prepared to love and be loved. That's who you are. You are a person who is born and has been prepared to love and be loved. Those stirrings, that's where they come from that child inside, that lovely and precious, that place of innocence, that place of hope and promise and just so much potential. So it is with those who are born of the Spirit, right? You are born of the Spirit. You are blown by that wind. Well, anyway, back to that Nicodemus story. So Jesus finishes telling him about these stirrings, the wind, the Spirit, and Nicodemus just bursts out, "How can this possibly be?" And I love Jesus' answer. Jesus, how can you be one of the big shots of Israel and you don't understand this? Or, as I would like to take that and translate it maybe into our 21st century thinking, he says, Jesus is saying, seriously? You, with all your education and all your privilege, you don't get this? I mean, this is simply the way things work. This is how the universe is put together. Start trusting the Spirit inside you a little bit more. Pay a little more attention to your heart. Don't worry so much about the right way to do everything or what's on the outside, and then maybe you'll start understanding some of the stuff that everybody else already gets. It isn't that hard, Nicodemus. It's not that hard, Greg. It's not that hard for any of us. So that's another reason, actually, then I believe that you already have what you need to have healthy relationships. It's not because you're so smart, but because you are woven into the fabric, right? And saying woven into the fabric, yeah, the name of this community, but I'm not saying you're woven into this community. I'm saying you're woven into what this community is trying to be woven into. This thing that embraces and holds us all. So your stirrings are whisperings to you when things are wonderful in your relationship, and they are also letting you know when things are not so good. So if you want relationships then, and I think we all do, that are life-giving and not life-sucking, we want to listen to those stirrings inside us. Again, on your outline. And listening and following your stirrings is a quality of life issue. Your relationships are your quality of life. I mean, face it. What are you except the sum total of your relationships? You are not your wealth. You are not your possessions. You are not your job. You are not your hobbies. It may be kind of a parent thing, but when someone asks me, like, how are you, Greg? My mind, without my even thinking about it, automatically scans my family. My kids and their families now and how they're doing. My life partner, Chris, how she's doing. And if all that checks out, the words that come out of my mouth then is, I'm fine. It's my relationships that matter. I've been in hospice rooms with a person who is dying, and I walk in the room, and they're there surrounded by the people they love. They're surrounded by their family. And I walk in, and I kind of instinctively ask, how are you? And they say, good. And I want to stop and say, well, hold it. You're dying. What do you mean you're good? But I don't have to say it because I look around the room, and I get it. I get it. They're good. It isn't about the quantity of your days. It's about the quality of your relationships. It's about the love that you have going on in your family. Being hardwired for connection, being created for community means that your relationships are going to be the measurement of how you are doing. And at the end of the day, what gives you or me joy and pain, happiness, meaning, fulfillment, are the people that we have in our lives. So, you see, you aren't supposed to listen to and follow those stirrings about your relationships, because if you don't, you're, you know, just a butthead. Although you probably are if you're not listening to them. And you aren't supposed to do it because Jesus told you to love your neighbor as yourselves. You're supposed to do it because the world sucks when you don't. I mean, when you let your relationships just kind of go with the flow, they erode, they start falling apart. And we all pay the cost of your letting that happen, of my letting that happen, of us letting that happen. So listening and following your stirrings is a quality of life issue. It's for you, it's for me, it's for all the people we're related to, and because of that, it's for the world all together, the whole world. Now, you'll notice that I didn't say listen to your stirrings, but I said listen and follow your stirrings. That's because for those stirrings to matter, they need to not just be heard, but they need to become part of who you are. And next thing on your outline there, when stirrings become habits, they transform relationships. Stirrings are great and they're important, but the stirring isn't the change that needs to happen, right? Now, they are pointing at what needs to happen. They are whistling at you when you are going too fast, telling you to slow down and look at what you just went past, all right? And they aren't just pointing at it so that you can go through the motions and say, oh, yeah, that's cool, that's neat, or yeah, I could go do that one time. No, they're actually trying to get you to change the way you live, the way you relate to people, so that it works a little bit better. There needs to be change at last, and change at last we call habits, right? Unfortunately, while we need to turn our stirrings into habits, there are also tendencies that we have that keep us from doing that. They stop us from listening to those stirrings, so we never pay attention. They help us dismiss them, like I said, rather than attend to them. So there's this stuff that squelches stirrings about our relationships. And one of them is, I'm just take a minute and talk about a couple of them because I think it's good to be aware of them. One is our instinct for self-protection. Okay? Instinct for self-protection. Protecting your feelings. There is stuff that you don't want to face within yourself. Same with me. There's stuff you don't want to know. Or maybe you were hurt in a relationship and you just don't want to do that again. You don't want that to happen to you again. So you build up a wall to protect you. And, you know, I get it. I understand. It's hard. It's to try to risk again and wonder whether everything is going to be okay. That's tough stuff. But the way forward isn't going to be found behind the wall, right? It's going to be found by going through the wall, getting to the other side. We need boundaries, but not walls that we hide behind. Another thing that we do to keep ourselves from hearing these stirrings within ourselves is we have this instinct to fix what is wrong. I'm just kind of fixing. So we have this great mode, maybe this is just me, but diagnose, advise, and repair, right? When there's something wrong, what's wrong? I'm going to fix it, and I'm going to, with some good advice, and we'll move on from there. Everything should be better then. If only relationships were mechanical, that would probably work. But unfortunately, relationships are with people and not with objects. Fixing is actually a way for us to sort of distance ourselves from the situation, to not be fully present. And that's actually what we need in our relationships. When stuff isn't going right, we need to be present. We need to be close. We need vulnerable. We need to be patient. And there's a lot more that can be said about that as well. And we can unpack that in your groups or with the people in your life this week. One more way that we squelch our stirrings is by meeting them with paranoia rather than pronoia, right? Paranoia rather than pronoia. Adam Grant, he did a couple of just great TED Talks, and he's the one through whom I heard about this word pronoia. And you all know what paranoia is, right? It's this overwhelming sense that everybody's out to get you, okay? Well, unfortunately, whether you are certified paranoid or not, we have a tendency to kind of approach the world that way. I mean, we think the worst of people. We suspect people's motives of what they're doing. We take a little minor conflict that we're sensing, and then we have our own little internal dialogue that plays it up and plays it up until it's like World War III about to erupt with us, and, you know, it was our own invention. Or we just kind of have this feeling that people are trying to take advantage of us. And then all that noise of the worry and the fear that we have drowns out the stirrings that we're being called to. Now, Adam Grant proposes another way of greeting these stirrings. And rather than paranoia, which is this overwhelming sense that everybody's out to get you, he says, should be greeting with pronoia, which is an overwhelming sense that everybody is out to help you. I mean, crazy idea. See those people over there? I think they're plotting to do something nice for me. I mean, wow, what if that was true? Well, what if we actually did that? What if that's actually what I suspected about you and what you suspected about me? I mean, just think how the world would be different if we had that orientation. And I wonder if that orientation wouldn't maybe actually make it happen. And why wouldn't I believe that about you? After all, if within me, if I look deep, deep down inside of something lovely and precious, guess what that means? When we look deep, deep down inside you, what's there? also something lovely and precious. And maybe you need me to trust you. Maybe you need me to be pronoid about you so that you would begin to see and to believe it in yourself and that you could live it back towards me. Paul, long, long ago, again in the Bible, wrote this. He said, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, dwell on, focus on, see these things. Yeah, I think Paul was certified pronoid. I think we should be too. Okay, so that's a lot. Take it home, talk about it in your groups, see what makes sense. But I want to do one last thing here. I know we started late, but okay. I want to take a few minutes to do one last thing here. You see, these stirrings are not just tremors of what I don't know yet and that is coming, but they also are connectedness. We are all, I mean, if you think about us all being woven to this fabric of ourselves and others and that which we call God, well, one part of that fabric moves. I mean, all the threads get pulled, right? We feel it. And when my part of the fabric moves, I mean, somehow you feel it. And a lot of what these stirrings are is just helping us understand our connectedness. I would call that prayer. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to think about the people in your life. I'd like you to start the closest, right? Those people that are closest to you. Maybe it's your family, maybe it's your really close friends, maybe it's your roommate, whoever they are, but the people that are closest to you. And what I'd like you to do is, I don't know, you can shut your eyes or not, but say their name to yourself and picture their face. And then I want you to notice what you feel. What comes to mind? What do you have an emotional reaction immediately as you think of that person? Do you feel something physically when you think of that person? And then what you do with Menti is just put their name in, first name, initials, nickname, nothing, doesn't matter. I mean, no one can tell. This is all completely anonymous, but, you know, do whatever. You don't have to use a name. And then just put a word or two or four about what it is that you feel for that person. Maybe it's like, Bill, I know he's struggling with something, or Vi, they're dealing with a lot of loss in their family, or, you know, Jane and Ted, they've had a baby, it's a new life. Maybe Greg, his messages are getting kind of long. Whatever it is, but go ahead and put that in there. So we're going to have a little bit of music in the background and just spend a few minutes, again, thinking about those people closest to you and then expanding out beyond that. Bolt their name. Think about their face. What do you feel? Let's let it be your prayers.
Thanks for listening. We hope this conversation continues in your life. You can find other Fabric folks through our social media accounts at FabricMPLS, or find resources for discussions with smaller groups, family, and friends on our website. We also have live gatherings in the Twin Cities we'd love for you to be part of. Learn more at FabricMPLS.com.